We're talking about the thrill of obedience, and let's go ahead and jump in. We got a lot to talk about today, and let me just kind of start off by telling you what today is not, okay? What today is not is just church as usual. Let me just kind of check off the box, and we're going to sing a few songs and maybe even hear, you know, a message, but after that, it's kind of done. No, that's not what today is, amen? Today, the mission is to unleash a generation of people to be absolutely unashamed, radically obedient to the things that God has called us to. Amen? That's the target for today, because here's what I'm learning just as I'm growing and hopefully maturing as a Jesus follower. Something I'm learning is that the enemy, his strategy has not changed. His strategy is he wants to attack your obedience. He wants to attack your obedience. And the reality is, I don't even really think he minds so much if we show up to church and sing a few songs and, you know, kumbaya, whatever. I don't think he really minds that so much as long as you don't do something with it out there. Like, I don't really think he minds so much if we get together, you hear the songs, you know, you might hear a message. I don't really think he minds so much if we do that as long as we don't do anything with it when we get out of these doors. And the reality is, if you've given your life to Christ, like you have called yourself a Jesus follower, you have been bought by the blood, you are saved, 100% redeemed, 100% forgiven, the enemy cannot attack your salvation. But what he can attack is your obedience. Because if he can attack your obedience, then he can render you useless towards the things of God. I guess what I'm trying to say in one sentence is this: information without application is a waste of time. That was so nice. Y'all didn't respond as well as I thought. I'll say it better this time. Information without application leads to no transformation, and we are not interested in no transformation. We are very much interested in transforming our lives and being renewed day by day by the Word of God, being brought more into the likeness of Christ. That's what we're after. That's what we're after. See, I'm learning that, maybe I'm just slow, I'm not the brightest, you know, crayon in the box, but I'm learning that the promises of God that we find in Scripture, they're not just for your journal. The promises of God are not just to be highlighted and kind of underlined. The promises of God are not meant to just sit in a notebook somewhere. Come on. The promises of God are meant to be lived out in your life. The promises, the truth, the Word of God is meant to be acted upon. We're supposed to get into it, study it, memorize it, so that we can put them into action in our lives. And so we're in a series right now called Living in Eden, Living in Eden. And if you're kind of new to the Bible, new to church, new to this little family, let me kind of explain what I'm talking about, because when I say living in Eden, that doesn't really mean so much to a lot of people. Like, what the heck are you talking about living in Eden? Well, the first four words in your Bible, Genesis chapter 1, Genesis means beginning. The first four words of your Bible go like this: in the beginning, God. Let's just stop there for a second, because we have to get the theology right there or we'll miss the rest of the gospel, because it says, in the beginning, God. Here's what it doesn't say. In the beginning, God was just so dissatisfied and so uncontent, you know, with how everything was going, that in his dissatisfaction, he created all of these things. No, the first four words of the Bible, in the beginning, God, you could put a period after that and it would be sufficient. In the beginning, God was totally satisfied, 100% content, just in triune communion with himself, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He was perfectly content in communion with himself. And see, if we get that wrong, all of a sudden the gospel becomes very man-centered. And how many of y'all know that the gospel is not man-centered? The gospel is God-centered. This book is not about you. I know you want it to be, and I know I want it to be sometimes too. But this book is not about you. It's for you, but it's not about you. And so he says, in the beginning, God. And then he goes on in Genesis 1 to talk about how the first 5 days he created everything you see. The plants, the stars, the moon, the sun, the vegetation, the animals. Everything you see he creates in 5 days. And then on the sixth day, it says that God formed the man from the dust. And then, of course, right after that, we see Adam goes into a deep sleep. So it's the first nap that's ever recorded in Scripture. Amen. That's why I feel very biblically bound to a nap this afternoon. Amen and amen. So Adam goes into a deep sleep, and from his rib, you know the story, he forms Eve, the perfect helper, the perfect companion. Come on, how many of y'all know the men would never make it on this planet on their own? And so God had to fix that with the woman. And so he places Adam and Eve in a garden called Eden, living. And they had none of that going on. Come on, they had no mortgage payment this month, amen? They had no bills, no light payment to worry about this month. Everything was taken care of for them. They live in the perfect environment. And so the heart of the series is to go, okay, we're never going to get back to the Garden of Eden 1.0. That day has come and gone. Sin entered the world. Now we live in a broken world. But Revelation 22 speaks of an eternal garden that God has prepared for us. And so what we're living in right now is we're actually living life between gardens. Are you following me? And so the goal of the series, the heart of the series is to go, okay, how can we pull the Garden of Eden 2.0? How can we pull that into our life right now? Like, we want to make the declaration. We are a holy people. Come on, we have been set apart. We are a royal priesthood. We've been called to declare the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a holy people. And the goal is, how do we bring the Garden of Eden down onto earth as it is in heaven? How do we swing the pendulum in such a way that we can begin to experience on earth as it is in heaven right now? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to wait around. I don't want to twiddle my thumbs until I get into eternity. I want to experience heaven on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. That's the goal. That's the goal. And so here's what we need to talk about, and we're going to kind of talk about the unpopular topic of radical obedience to the Lord. And you're like, well, that's not very unpopular. Everybody's talking about that. Yeah, maybe. But I want to go to the next step of that because, yeah, we can talk about radical obedience to the Lord, but what that actually means is you have to deny yourself. And that's the part that's not very popular in 2020 because we want to live our own lives. We want to play God. We want to live out our own ideals, our own passions, our own flesh. We want to live our own way. And Jesus said it multiple times in the gospel that you have to deny that. Amen. See, we don't need the church to go into 2020 trying to find themselves. The message of the Bible is not find yourself. The message of the Bible is deny yourself. And so we have to start with a truth that is woven all throughout the pages of Scripture, because if we get the foundation wrong, we're going to build something that the world is going to crumble. So we got to get the foundation right, and here it is. You might want to write this down if you're a note taker. Talking about obedience, every command of Scripture has been given to us by God. Every command of Scripture has been given to us by God. Watch this. For your joy and his glory. Every command of Scripture has been given to us by God for your joy and his glory. And we need to master that concept before we will ever follow Jesus as Lord. We need to master that, that at the root of every command in Scripture is your joy, his glory, because if we keep living life like, you know, the commands of God are to withhold from us. You know, there's this life out there, and it's glorious, and it's amazing, and I wish I could get to it, but the problem is the commands of God, they're withholding me. As long as we live under that impression, we'll never step into obedience with God. And the greater reality is that God does not want to withhold from you. Come on, somebody. God does not want to suppress true life from you. He wants to lead us into the bountiful, plentiful, abundant life that Christ died for you to live. Are you tracking with me? In fact, in Psalm 16, it puts it this way while you're turning over there. Psalm 16, this is very profound, but it makes it more profound because of who's talking about it. This is King David. This is the guy that... If you can think of the most manly person, let me put it this way. If you can think of the most manly person, times it by 50, that's David. This is the guy that was watching over his father's flock, and a freaking bear comes out of the woods. And rather than shooing the sheep along, he decides the best route of action here is to take the bear with his bare hands and kill it. That's David. This is the guy that a lion, I'm just imagining, is running at him. He grabs it by the neck, wrestles it to the ground, and kills the lion with his bare hands. This is David. This is the guy that struck down a 9-foot champion called Goliath. Not only struck him down, cuts his head off. Holds up his head for the Philistine army to see. They flee. The Israelite army plunders their camp. And David's holding the head of Goliath with blood running down his arm. That's David. And yet he says this in Psalm 16. You make known to me the path of life. I love that. You make known to me the path of life. In other words, the path of life is not hidden. The path of life has been made known. He says, in your presence, there's fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is a guy who has had tremendously profound moments with God, and yet he would look at all of that and go, you are where true life is found. He would look at all these temporary fleeting moments that felt good in the moment, and yes, it was an adrenaline rush, no doubt, but he would look to God and say, you're where my true life is actually found. In fact, in Psalm 119, he says that the law, it's like honey to his lips. I don't know about you, but I've never like read through Exodus 20 where God gave the Ten Commandments and start salivating. You know what I mean? Like that's never happened to me. Maybe it has for you, but I've never read Exodus 20 and start licking my fingers because of, you know, just how sweet the taste of the law is. That's never happened. And yet David would say, that's where I actually find the fullness of joy. So we have to start with this foundation. This is where we have to start. For radical obedience to happen, we need to understand that rooted underneath every command of God is your joy and his glory. So let's build from there. Point number one, being obedient to God means knowing the word of God. Being obedient to God means knowing the word of God. And excuse me if that's way too rudimentary for you, and you know, you want the Hebrew and the Greek, and you know, tell me something so lofty that I don't even know what you're talking about. And some people like it that way. You know what I mean? Tell me something so lofty, that way I don't have to go home and do anything about it. Uh-oh. So we want to get right down on the ground level. We want to go, okay, in order to be obedient to God, you have to know the word of God. Because if you don't know the word, then how can you be obedient if you don't know the things that he's saying? And in fact, I would go further to say, if we don't know the word, then we're actually being obedient to our feelings and our wisdom rather than the word. And last time I checked, God shames the wisdom of the wise. So we got to know the word in order for us to be obedient. So Colossians 3, let me give you some scripture. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. Like not halfway dwell, let it richly dwell in you. Joshua 1, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Watch this. So you can do what it says. John 15, if you abide in me and my word in you, ask whatever you want. And it'll be done. By this, my Father is glorified. Psalm 1, his delight is in the law. Hebrews 4:12, the word is active and alive. Matthew 4:4, Psalm 1. I mean, it goes on and on and on. All these scriptures. I'll give you a couple more. Luke 8, Jesus speaking. He says, my disciples are those who hear the word and do it. It's not just hearing the word, but it's being obedient to the word. Matthew 7, he's talking about the foolish man's the one who builds his house on the sand, and the wise man's the one who builds it on the rock. He says, if anyone hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, he is like a wise man. Built his house on the rock. The winds came, the storms blew, but the house did not fall. James 1, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks in the mirror, walks away, and immediately forgets what he looks like. It's just time and time again. I could spend 30 minutes explaining all the parables of Jesus every time. It's don't just hear the word, but actually be a doer of the word. And I don't know about y'all, but this year I want to say yes to the word of God. I want to say yes to being obedient to God. But to say yes to God, you have to know the word of God. And to say yes to the word of God, you have to know what it says. Like, I don't want to just hear the word this year. I want to say yes to the word this year. I don't want to just hear the word this year. I want to be active in the word this year. I want to be obedient to the word this year, because I don't know about y'all, but I want a fresh word from God. Come on, I don't want to live off a revelation of 5 years ago. I want a fresh word of God. His mercy is new every day. I want to hear God every day. And I'm telling you, we need a generation of Christians who will say yes to knowing the word of God. Yeah, you can clap about it. Come on, y'all are being real quiet on me today. We need a generation who will say yes to knowing the word of God. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, we know what our Father actually said. That when the enemy comes and tries to set his assignment in your life and try and remind you that you're no good, you're washed up, you're a tramp, you're a low life, when he comes in to remind you of all these things, you can look back and say, oh, no, 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 devil. My Father says a whole bunch of different things about me. My Father says I am the head and not the tail. My Father says I am the righteousness of God found in Christ Jesus. My Father says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, that nothing can separate me from the love of my God. See, when the enemy comes in like he did in the Garden of Eden, and he asks the question, did God really say? We need a generation of people who knows what God really says. Because the only way to be obedient to God is to know the word of God. And rooted underneath the commands of God is your joy and his glory. And here's what I'm going to say, and I like it straight. You know what I mean? Don't beat me around the bush. Just tell me like it is. Let me work on my emotions later. I'm very emotionally unstable. And so let me worry about that later. But just tell me like it is. Just tell me like it is. So here it is. I just don't think we know the word. And I'm saying we because I'm in that. I don't know the word the way that I need to know the word. Like the enemy comes in like a flood and I don't know the word. I don't know what my Father says about me. And here's the thing. We love the coffee mug Bible verses. And I'm not hating on the coffee mug Bible verses. There's a reason they're on coffee mugs. We treasure those scriptures. But like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? We know that. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Jeremiah 29:11, like these are coffee mug verses that we know. But I did this at the 8:30. I was thinking about this. But we don't know the James 1s of the Bible. See, we want to know all the coffee mug verses, but we don't know the one that says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. How do you lack in nothing? You find joy in your trials. What? Romans 5, more than that, we rejoice in our suffering. And see, what happens is in life, all of these things come at us like a flood. And man, we go through some of the hardest seasons of our life. And we start quoting like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we go, God, this does not feel like everlasting life. And yet James would say, count it as a joy. Let me get back to my original text, 1 John 5. Go with me to verse 3. He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And like I sat in that verse for hours trying to go like, okay, God, like show me something profound. You know what I mean? Give the people something profound this weekend. And what I found is that the more simple we make it, the more profound it becomes. Here it is. You ready? If you love God, obey his commands. Like if you love God, you'll obey him. If you love him, you'll get in the word and marinate in the word and study the word and memorize the word. But we won't just stop there. We'll actually begin to do it. Like let's do coffee and talk about the word. Absolutely. Let's get in a Bible study and talk about the word. Absolutely. But at some point, we've got to actually do it. Like, could you imagine if every Jesus follower in Union County who goes to church this weekend at some of the amazing churches in our county, could you imagine if every single one of them stepped into what the word was actually saying? Like, could you imagine if this week, if we all stepped into the truth of the world, of the word? And see, it always comes back to this. Like, every time it always comes back to this. Either Jesus came to the planet, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, went down into the grave, on the third day rose up, walked around the planet for like 40, 50 days, ascends into heaven, sends the Holy Spirit down to empower the church. Either all of that happened or it didn't. And wouldn't it be amazing if 400 Jesus followers actually began living life like he did? Here it is. Good intentions will not change the world. But action from the church will. Good intentions will not change the world, but action from the church will. Could you imagine if we have a whole bunch of people going into this year going, man, I am going to be a worshiper this year. Woo, I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to tithe this year. I'm going to worship this year. I'm going to go all in with God this year. And then we get on our deathbed one day. By the way, I found out a statistic this week. 1 out of 1 people will die. Newsflash. So when we're on our deathbed, could you imagine looking back over your whole life going, man, I had great intentions, but I never actually did anything. See, it's this reality that Jesus is either, if he's not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. If he is not Lord of all in your life, then he is not Lord at all in your life. In fact, Phil puts it this way. I love the way he says it. He says, we want to be people who are marked by obedience. We want to be people that are marked by obedience. In other words, when the world looks in on this house, they're going to see a whole bunch of people who do not have all the answers, who are not doing it perfectly right, who are so thankful. Come on, is anybody thankful for the grace of God that fills in your gaps when you fall short? Okay, so when the world looks in at that, they're going to see a church that is not perfect, but my gosh, we are striving after the things of God. We are trying to be obedient to God's word. That they're going to look in and they're going to see a house that's all in for God, obedient to the word, trying to be a city on the hill, trying to be the light of the world, trying to be the salt of the earth. We're trying to be everything that God has called us to be. Because Jesus put it this way, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let me take the worship team and I'm going to try and bring this thing down. There's a word that it's used a lot in scripture, specifically when they're talking about the law. So like when they're talking about the law, the commands of God, when they're talking about all these things, there's a word that kept kind of showing up in the text that I was just marveled by. It's this word delight. It's the word delight. In fact, write this down if you're a note taker. Last point, the difference between delight and duty. The difference between delight and duty. Let me give you a couple examples. Psalm 37, this is David. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So let's take a little pressure off you again today as a Jesus follower. You don't need to strive after and yearn for, like, what's my desire of my heart? I don't know. If you'll delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Here's another one, Psalm 19. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. In other words, in my time of affliction, if I did not have your word, I would have absolutely perished. This is David writing. You see it over and over and over again. When you see the law, the words of God, the commands of God, there's this word delight that's normally attached to it. And I heard a pastor share this illustration, and I am totally just going to steal the whole thing because it's that good. His name's John Piper, and he uses this illustration that I thought was so good, and I'm going to kind of put it in my own context just so it makes sense. But imagine that tomorrow's Monday, and Mondays are like the worst day for me. I'm exhausted from today, and I try and do all my meetings on Monday. I hate meetings, so we try and get all those out of the way. And so imagine now, it's like 5:30, we get done with work, and I usually go to CrossFit, so now I finish at about 6:30, I'm home by 7. Imagine, instead of coming through the garage door like I normally do, imagine that I walk around to the front door, and I ring the doorbell, ding dong. And somebody amen that. That's great. Thank you, Thor. It's wonderful. Imagine, ring the doorbell, ding dong. Becca comes around from the side and she looks through the window and she's like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Nobody comes through our front door and what are you doing? So imagine she opens the door and from behind my back, I pull out 12 of the most beautiful roses that you've ever seen in your whole life. And so imagine now that, you know, she's like, oh my gosh, you know, this is amazing. Wow, so wonderful, so amazing. But why? Do you know what I mean? Like why? What why? What is this for? And imagine my response is, well, it's my duty Do you know what I mean? Like, I read a book on marriage, and I read a book about being a husband, and they said that I had to give you 12 roses. So here, take the roses. Do you feel like, that would go over well? But imagine now, let's rewind, okay? So we go back, ding dong, ring the doorbell. Becca comes around the side. She's like, what are you doing? You know, opens the door, and boom, 12 of the most beautiful roses. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. Why? Why? And imagine if my response is, I literally couldn't help myself. Like it is my joy. It is a delight. And on top of that, go put on something nice because I'm going to take you out for dinner tonight. Amen. Whew. Getting steamy in the Midori house. Okay. Imagine I tell her, like, there's literally no one else that I would rather spend my night with than the woman that I treasure more than anything in the world. You see the difference? In a delight and a duty. See, we see the commands as a duty, but we are called to delight in the commands of God. Well, we're meant to delight in His law. We're meant to delight in His words. We don't look at the commands of God and go, ugh, I'm a Christian. This is what I have to do. It's my duty to love my neighbor. It's my duty. Why are you so loving to me? Oh, it's my duty. I'm a Christian. No, we look at the commands and we go, oh man, like we walk into church and we go, there is nothing that I would rather do, God, than spend time with you and get in your presence, because in your presence there is fullness of joy. It's the difference between a delight and a duty. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In fact, the best way that I knew how to see this in my head, I think I need medicine, truly. I don't know what's wrong with me. But you've probably been wondering about all of this. And so I just see the word of God and the commands of God like a magnet. And it's attached to a nail so you can kind of see it. But I just see the commands of God like a magnet. And the commands of God are trying to pull you in like a 10,000-pound magnet. It's trying to pull you into the joy and the fullness of who God is. And every single one of us, I hate to reduce you down to a paperclip, but every single one of us are like these paperclips. And the commands of God are trying to pull you into the fullness of who God is. All of His grace, all of His mercy, all of His life. He's trying to pull you into the life that He originally designed for you to live. And everything that's pulling you the other way is your flesh trying to pull you into slavery and bondage and fear. And yet, here we have this 10,000-pound magnet that's trying to pull you into the fullness of God, the truth of God, the word of God, the commands of God are trying to pull you into the grace of our God. And I'm so glad we're talking about grace, because how many of y'all know that the grace of God is like a 1,200-pound magnet? Come on, somebody. And so many times we feel like we can't approach God because of all of our crap, all of our mess ups, all of our mistakes, all of our failures, all of our shortcomings. How many of you are thankful that the grace of God is a powerful enough magnet to take all of your mess, all of your crap, bring you into the fullness of God? The scripture says there is nothing that can separate you from the love of our God. It's a magnet, man. It's a magnet trying to pull you into everything that God has for your life. The commands are like the magnet pulling you in, but the only way to experience the joy of the Lord is obedience. The reality is the commands of God are not meant to withhold from you. They're not meant to suppress life from you and try and, you know, kind of control you into this, you know, little robot. That's not what the commands of God are for. The commands of God are meant to pull you into the fullness of who God has called you to be. And the only way to step into that is obedience. Radical, unashamed, unfiltered obedience to the Lord. To just say, whatever you have for me, God, I'm yours. I wasn't going to share this, but I think I'm going to. I was going to save it for next week, but I think I'm going to share it. You remember the story of Zacchaeus? How much time we got? Are we okay? Oh, we're good. We got at least 2 hours left. You remember the story of Zacchaeus? The wee little man, you know, up in the tree. I like that guy, yeah, because I'm short. So, Zacchaeus. Let me go back, actually. The rich young ruler. Do you remember the rich young ruler? Jesus, you know, he approaches Jesus and says, how do I, you know, inherit the kingdom? And Jesus says, sell everything you have. And what's it say? The rich young ruler walks away sad. And then we have Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. It specifically says he was rich. So we've got two rich guys now. And Zacchaeus, tax collector, rich, Jesus meets with him in the house. And what happens? Salvation has come to this house. And Zacchaeus tells him, look, everything that I have stolen, I give back fourfold. Everything I have, it's yours. I'm thinking that about that going like, man, two rich people, one joyfully steps into obedience and the other walks away sad. Both convicted, one walks away happy, one walks away sad. The difference was obedience. I'm going like, man, how many times have I been convicted by the word and yet I walk away sad and do nothing about it? But how can we be more like Zacchaeus that gets convicted by the word and joyfully, like in his joy, he sells everything that he has? The difference is obedience. The thrill of being obedient to the words of God. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray for us. And, you know, in 2020, this is our prayer that people would become spiritually alive this year. That's our prayer. You go, well, that's basic. No, it ain't. Like, I'm talking about, like, people going from death to life this year. I'm talking about people who have been following the Lord for 30 years, and yet this is the year that they're going to be quickened and awakened to the things of God. That's what we're praying for. The only way to do it, man, obedience. To step into the words. To not walk away sad like the rich young ruler, but to walk away like Zacchaeus going, man, it's worth everything. And Jesus even said about the rich young ruler, he said, it's almost impossible for the rich person to inherit the kingdom. It's so hard for the rich person to inherit the kingdom. But what's impossible for man is not impossible for God. So man, maybe you've been challenged by the word. Maybe you've been convicted by the word. My prayer for you is that you don't walk away sad, but you walk away joyfully, just obedient to God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We need you now, Holy Spirit, to do this. We cannot do this on our own. There is no way that we can do this on our own. We can try, and many of us have, but we will exhaust ourselves in the process. We do not want to do the work of God absent from the power of God. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you flood this place. Fill your people like the day of Pentecost. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up with your Holy Spirit. So we can be empowered to be obedient to the things that you've called us to do. It's not an easy life. It will come with trials. But I would much rather be on my deathbed looking back going, I gave everything I had to you, Lord. I'm going to stand before you one day and I'm going to look back on my life. I want to give you everything. I want you to be Lord of all. So Lord, use your people under the sound of my voice, those watching online today. Let us be obedient, man. Let us be obedient to your word this year. You know, I would imagine in a setting like this, there's probably many people who have never given their life to Jesus, never given their life to Christ. And I want to give you that opportunity. I would be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel today. Jesus made it super easy, super clear. In Acts, they approached John and Peter and said, how can we inherit the kingdom? And Peter responded, repent and be baptized and believe in the Lord Jesus, and those who will call upon his name shall be saved. So I want to give you the opportunity, man, just right now, just in your heart, just in the deepest part of your heart, if you know that you are not in a relationship with God, you've never called upon him as Lord, This is your time. This is holy ground, nobody moving. You're surrounded by people who love you. We've been praying for you specifically for this very moment. In the deepest part of your heart, would you just begin to repent? Repent means to turn away. It means to change direction. It means to get rid of the old ways and submit them under the lordship of Christ and now step into his ways. So would you just begin to do that just in your heart right now? Just begin to repent. Lord, I know that I have fallen so short of your standard. I know that I have missed the mark so many times. And God, I want to completely reject the ways that I have been living life, and I want to step into the ways that you have called me to live. Just begin to pray that in your heart right now. With every eye closed, all heads bowed, Scripture says those who call upon his name shall be saved. Would you be so bold this morning? If that's you, would you be so bold to shoot your hand up? I want to call upon the name of Jesus for the very first time. Would you shoot your hand up? I want to know who we're praying for this morning. I want to give my life to Christ for the very first time. Today's your day. You're surrounded by people who love you. You're surrounded by people who have been praying for you for this very moment right here. You're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. If you've never given your life to Christ, would you shoot your hand up now? I want to give my life to Jesus. Yeah. And maybe you've been following Jesus for like 10 years. That's amazing. But maybe today's the day you realize, man, I have not been obedient to his ways. And maybe today's the day that you kind of drive that staker in the ground, that today's the day that you want to rededicate your life to him. Maybe you've been following him, but you kind of got off course a little bit, and today's the day you want to get back on course. Would you be so bold to shoot your hand up? I want to pray for you. I want to know who we're praying for today. I want to get back into a right relationship with him. I want to be obedient to him. I want to rededicate my life to Christ today. Today's the day that I begin to live out of obedience. Yeah, hallelujah. Shoot your hand up. Let me see who we're praying for. Come on, don't be ashamed. Come on, let me see. Yeah, praise God, man. Yeah, praise God. Lord, every hand that just went up, you know every desire of their heart. Lord, I just pray that you would give them radical obedience. That today is the day that no matter what happens moving forward, they're going to look back on today. Today is the day that I got serious about my relationship with God. Today's the day that I want to truly step into obedience to you. And yes, you're going to mess up. Yes, you're going to fall short. But today's the day that you began living for the things of God. Praise you, Lord. We praise you. Jesus, I ask that you would just encounter us now in these last few moments. That you would do things that only you can do. You'd speak words that only you know to speak. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen.